Welcome to the Tyler Stem podcast, number 341 we're on now. Can you believe it? And we are kind of the first proper one of this pre-season, I guess. Obviously, regular viewers will know that my voice is not Mark Mayo. I am your new host, in a way, Ben Thomas, and I'm joined by Ross Webber, who is joining us from overseas today. You may know that he is very much in America.
That's right.
So, yeah. Whereabouts are you from, remind us?
I'm actually from not far outside of Reading at all. Like, I'm actually from Southampton and okay. Left my Southampton fan dad in the lurch by himself and became a Reading fan. But now I'm out here in Maine, near Portland. Good to let you speak first, Ben, and get that British accent out there first before
twanging
around. Yeah.
Well, listen, like if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that. Weirdly, like when I stepped in last season for Mark, when he just couldn't be bothered or he was doing something else that was far more interested in the podcast, it was normally Ross that came on with me. So it's quite cool that we've ended up with this gig, really. So we're kind of really excited about driving it, about, you know, pushing it, making it our own, really. And I think, you know, before we kind of get into what we're talking about today, it would be remiss of us to not talk about the legend that is, of course, Mark Mayo, who, checking my notes here, started in October 2017. Cool. And in podcast terms, that's massive. I think he started on like 140 maybe. So he's kind of been host or been certainly giving plans to step in hosts for sort of 200 episodes, which is quite a phenomenal achievement, really, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah. No, he was great. And honestly, you know, it's funny. I think about this obviously now, Ben. We've had the chance to meet and we've worked on the Tyler Stem together a little bit and Sim, of course, and others at the group that I've met, which has been great. But when I first got into the Tyler Stem and when I first like learned about this great fan group, it was through Mark's voice on the podcast. And so, just his steady leadership, I suppose, over the last few years on that has been, really, really something, a highlight for us. So, good luck to Mark in your future, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I think he's still lingering around the group anyway in terms of editorials. I think he's doing a few. We will be doing a few articles and stuff. And as I said to him, you know, we'll get him on at some point for our time's sake. But you know, he's been brilliant, and you know, certainly for me, learning a lot from him. And hopefully we can do him justice moving forward. Obviously, different voices, different views, and that's never a bad thing, is it? Really,
exactly.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
We started July, and it's been, for want of a better word, Ross, it's been an absolute stinker of a summer so far, hasn't it? It's been absolutely just bad news after terrible news after horrendous news after just been awful. And really, you know, obviously relegation was horrendous in itself, but actually getting to the point where you kind of look at it and think there's got to be something positive coming out of this. And it just hasn't happened, has it, so far?
No, yeah, we're waiting for that sort of, you know, get your face above water sort of moment this summer, aren't we? Maybe that will be Ruben Sellers' proper introduction, because I guess the announcement so far has been a little on the rush side. Or maybe that'll be Theo Walcott or someone else joining that'll be exciting. But yeah, Reading have certainly had a bit of a torrid start to things. A torrid start, but also a start that's felt like just waiting for things to happen. And nothing coming down the pipe over and over again. So I feel like I'm in that sort of like, come on, do something mode right now. And hopefully with preseason starting, we're there, hopefully.
Well, let's start with Ruben Sellers. So it's a, you know, good place to start, because we're going to try and be, you know, positive as much as we can be on it. You know, we were nearly 3 months after Paul Lintz had been sacked. Obviously, Noel Hunt stepped in for, you know, the last few games of the season. Realistically, he was probably never going to take the job. You know, I think it was beyond him. That's not fair, but actually, it probably wasn't the right fit at the time to be able to, you know, to carry it forward. And fair play to him and the team. They did step up in those last few games, certainly. And you know, if it wasn't for the minus 6 points, then we would have stayed up. So,
right,
you know, he did all right. But sellers has kind of not necessarily come out of anywhere, or come out of nowhere rather. You know, the big thing really was Chris Wilder and the kind of the saga that was with that. And ultimately, the only people that really know what happened there would be hopefully the footballing side of operations and Chris Wilder as well. But it looks like we've settled on our man of Ruben Sellers. And you know, I know that Wim kind of did a really long, in-depth profile of him on the podcast extra in the week. Obviously, Sim did a fairly average article on him in the week, which I don't think anyone really read, to be honest. It's a bit long, a bit wordy for me. But, you know, I'm interested to kind of hear what you think, because I'll be honest, I don't know much about him. You know, I know he's a handsome chap. I know he was at Southampton.
Certainly that much. Yeah, he's gone down well with the my long-suffering sort of semi-Reading fan wife in the house. She's enjoyed Sellers so far. Got a nice shave going around. Clearly, the man's got a good hairdresser. Good suit style too. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. He's been in England for what, a year now. Brought into England around this time last year to coach Ralph Hasenhüttl's Southampton team. So Red Bull football, if you guys know much about that. Obviously, we've talked, Sim's talked about it, Wim's talked about it, the 4-2-2-2. It's going to be different from last year. Very, very different. Am I convinced that this particular style of football, you know, it's very influenced by German, Austrian, sort of Central European styles of play. Am I convinced that it works in England yet? No. But after having to watch the ball get hoofed towards Andy Carroll and then the rest of the attacking plan being vibes for a lot of last season, I'm just excited to see us play something different. It's quite an exciting style of play. To give you a little overview here, the way in which they try and play, it's always an act, don't react sort of thing. Not letting
that'll be a massive departure for our football club, right?
A huge
in terms of playing on the pitch, like actually take the game to your opponents for once.
Exactly. And you'll see a lot of playing very centrally, I think, as well. Towards the end of the season with Southampton, I saw that Sellers did kind of switch towards more of like a 4-3-3 thing. And Walcott, Nibs, which we'll talk about a little bit, they seem to be signings that would allow us to play in that kind of way. But like I say, at the end of the day, I'm just excited to see a very different, very dynamic kind of football to what we got last year, which was just, as an aspiring coach myself, last year's football was not my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. And I said this last week, you know, when it was, I say announced, but like, you know, they kind of went, oh, well, he's going to be the manager probably, but we just get some paperwork sorted and go from there. But, you know, we as a club, we need this to work out. You know, there's no two ways about it. And all the talk was of, you know, we're going to take our time, we're going to do proper recruitment. And it, to be fair to them, it does look like they kind of settled fairly early on, you know, without keep going back to him, but Chris Wilder. And clearly there was fairly strong indications that he was going to be named and all the rest of it. Again, as I said earlier, we don't really know what the main issue was there, but it does kind of, you know, once you miss out on your top target, whether that's a player, whether that's a coach, whatever, whoever then comes in as a result of not getting that top target is always going to be on the back foot. And I think, you know, he obviously sees something in this project. Like he did all right at Southampton. It wasn't horrendous. I mean, it wasn't great either, but it wasn't, you know, the kind of reviews as the guys are going to be mixed, but actually, you know, he must see something in this project to go, I'm gonna, you know, stick my hat in the ring for that one. What do you think is his kind of, without making it obvious in terms of first priority being winning matches, but what's he got to do first for us?
I think the first thing that he needs to do is obviously get involved with the recruiting, because the team is just bare right now, right? Like even if he wanted to play in a particular style, he wouldn't necessarily be able to right now because the pieces aren't there to play anything really. One of the benefits to not having like much of a squad right now is that we were able to flirt with Wilder, you know, like a 3-5-2 manager, and then flirt with Sellers, who's a completely different style of manager. And that's great. But obviously just kind of shows you how weak the squad was in the first place. So I think that really something that we haven't seen in the last few years with Reading is aligning the recruitment with the manager's vision, right? And making sure that we're buying players that are actually going to be useful. Sellers was given a £30 million big tall striker, I think, at Southampton in the second half of last season. Didn't like him very much. So I wonder what that says for Andy Carroll and his big tall legs as well. So perhaps there's another striker coming in for Reading among the others. But yeah, I think the first thing he's going to need to do is get the recruitment right, because that's something that again and again, Reading just have failed to do properly in the last few years.
I mean, you know, on that recruitment, I think, you know, certainly from my point of view, the biggest bugbear has been there's been no real profile of bringing players in. So it's been very much a kind of scattergun approach with the players that have been available, of the players that know where Redland is, that kind of like the area.
Yeah, right.
Is kind of, yeah, there's some sort of attraction to being it. You know, we've gone from the kind of experience and the, you know, the big money stuff like Drinkwater. We've had Andy Carroll, obviously, who's still here. We brought in players like Tom Ince. We brought a few young players through. You know, there hasn't really been any consistent profile. And kind of looking at, four targets really, because obviously there's a few rumours floating around, which is, again, encouraging, because actually we're a bit of a basket case right now. So the fact that there are rumours for me is a good thing. You know, we're going to talk about these two in a bit more detail in a minute, but you know, we've got Harvey Nibbs, Theo Walcott, and then the ones to emerge today are Lewis Firini, hopefully I've said that right, and the absolute wild card, Craig Cathcart. And
yeah,
that really, those profile of players, not just in terms of position, but also, you know, their journeys, is an interesting one, really. I mean, we look at Nibbs and Walcott because we believe that they're pretty much there. You know, physically they're probably in Spain, or should be in Spain right now as well. But you know, Harvey Nibbs, League One over the last couple of seasons, 74 appearances, 9 goals. So he's not coming and adding a few, you know, as many goals as we'd want in where we are now. Walcott, 34, obviously been with Saints for the last sort of 2-3 seasons, 50 appearances in the league, but 5 goals. And then we've got Firini, who was on loan from Man City at Blackpool towards the end of last season, 13 appearances and 1 goal. So, you know, we'll come to recruitment because it's one of the questions in the mailbag, really. But that profile, again, is kind of all over the place, isn't it? And obviously Craig Cathcart, which I think is a non-starter. I think that's his agent. What, you know, what do you... Let's start with Theo Walcott, first of all. What is your honest opinion of that?
Theo Walcott, he was like I say, I come from a family of Southampton fans, and nobody was particularly upset when Theo Walcott moved on again. Now that said, I think that the unifying profile with at least Nibbs and Walcott is pressing and the ability to play defensively. Walcott, probably quite understandably, in a rubbish Southampton team, and really they were rubbish last season, had problems on and off the field, didn't do so great from an attacking point of view, but actually still had good defensive stats and things like that. Harvey Nibbs, yeah, not scored too many, but last season, just looking at just who scored stats and things like that, had his best season ever within League One, which is good. So he's going up in the right direction. Obviously got ambitions to be playing for more than Cambridge. I've heard Cambridge are meant to be rivals of ours. I'm too young for any of that nonsense. So
I mean, rivals is a stretch.
Okay, good. That's actually going to be, yeah, that'll be a question for me, I suppose, as we move into this season, and who the biggest rival for Reading is now.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting on that note, actually, I met up with one of my oldest friends. I met him at uni, and he's originally from Cambridge. So I've known him for sort of 20 odd years, really. And we were talking about Reading and League One in general. And he said, when I first met him, we were on the cusp of being great, you know, Premier League side. Yeah. Cambridge were non-league, because he started to cover him for like the local press and stuff. And he said, he can't process that, you know, Reading have kind of sold out, you know, beating Man City, although they want the Man City in the day, but, you know, Liverpool, these kind of teams, are going to be playing at the Abbey Stadium sort of this coming season. He said just blew his mind.
He
didn't have too much to say about Nibs, to be honest. And I think, I don't know if you kind of saw any comments from their fans, but, you know, one comment was for every goal he scores, he's going to miss 12 opportunities.
Okay.
Is that something that we need at the moment, do you think?
No, I think that, so this is great, great timing, because I'm working on a piece on recruitment for sellers right now. And one of the things that I've noted that was, regardless of whether Wolcott and Nibs come in, we're not done in the transfer market as it comes to attackers. And partly because, like I was saying, sellers doesn't appear to fancy the big target man up top sort of thing. So I can't think that Andy Carroll is going to be, you know, maybe Andy Carroll will start the season, because I think that a manager is not going to come in and tell one of probably the highest earners at the club, one of the most established players at the club, you're not playing. But I wouldn't be surprised if the leash is short with Carroll. And I think he did have quite a few goals last season, considering how little Reading actually attacked. But it's just not going to be somebody for me who's going to be scoring the goals to take us back into the championship, especially under the kind of structure that we want to play now. So somebody that can actually play the pressing style that Sellers is going to want alongside actually scoring goals. That's going to be one of the primary things that we need this summer for sure.
I mean, that's you know, that is kind of nail on the head stuff, isn't it? Because from a really kind of crass football fan point of view, what I want to see now are players that actually kind of a little bit more technically intelligent, and actually, you know, making those runs and as you say, kind of pressing and kind of smash mouth football in terms of getting in people's faces and pressurizing. But as you say, we need someone in the team that isn't there at the moment. So we're going to have someone else coming in who's actually going to score some goals.
And it's worth noting as well, we've lost Zhao, Meite, and Puskás. We kind of lost Puskás this summer, but that's three striking options that have gone out the door. We're not going to be able to replace Zhao with what is available to us at this level in terms of ability. But in terms of just like pure effectiveness and putting the ball in the back of the net, there's someone out there. And I'm hoping that the recruitment team, even though it's taken that hit recently, has already identified who that's going to be.
It's going to be, I think that's going to be the most interesting part of it. I mean, as we said, we're led to believe that Sellers is done, minus the paperwork. And you'd hope that he's got, you know, a fairly healthy notebook of players or profiles of players that he wants. And the fact that we've got, you know, potentially those two already done in Nibs and Wolcott, the fact there are other rumours floating around, I know we kind of missed out on a few earlier targets, but, you know, very few clubs bring in players sort of June time. And I guess the only ones really that we're kind of looking for are kind of decisions on Mbenge, Dorset and Hoylett, my sweet Canadian prince Hoylett.
Hoylett's a favourite of mine out here as well. I've watched a lot of Canada in the last few years, so he's a favourite of mine as well.
I mean, realistically, Ross, out of those, what, you know, those three players, what are your thoughts on them?
Well, my heart says I'd rather keep Hoylett, but my head says I'd rather keep Mbenge. I can tell you that much. I think that Mbenge was one of the really nice surprises of last season. Came out of kind of nowhere. I don't know how many of us were watching. Was he in Ligue 2 last season or something? I think he was in the second French league. So I don't think any of us were really aware of him before he came by, and just immediately became one of the better center backs in the team. I don't think that his presence would completely solve Reading's needs on center back. I think that there's still a big guy short now that Sarr's gone. But I'd like to see Mbenge come back. Hoylett for me is going to score like the same number of goals, make a similar number of appearances in League One or the Championship. I think he's just a quality player who is available when he's available through the age he is, the kind of player he is, the amount of injuries he gets and things like that. So I hope he comes back. I don't know if he will. Dorset just feels like that name that I've heard for two or three seasons now. But
a long time.
I'm like, but what is it? Like, show me, you know, like, so I wonder if he's going to fall into that kind of group that Abrefa, and Calvini and all of those guys have fallen into now, where they're sort of stuck halfway between the team and not really in it. I don't know what to think about Dorset, I guess. Do you have an opinion there?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, where we're at now is that obviously Hoyle's been away with Canada. I have to be realistic and say that is he probably what we need now? No. Is there better out there in terms of age? Definitely. Can we get them in? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
So as much as I would like to see him, because, you know, I'll get slated for it, but he's a great guy. Honestly, he's fantastic. You know, he does work hard, but as we've said kind of through this pod already, there isn't really a lot of impact in terms of what he can come up with. So realistically, I don't, unless he gets a move to Canada, I don't see him getting any other options really. So he potentially will re-sign, even though I'm kind of like, well, it's by the by. I think the fact that, unless I've missed something glaring, that Mbenge isn't with the squad at the moment,
probably tells you
that he's looking for something else, which would be a shame, because actually, as you say, there's potential there. Whether or not, you know, that potential would be realised in League One more so than in the Championship, I don't know. It's a very different league, very different dynamic. And Dorset, you know, again, we're led to believe that he is with the squad right now, so it's likely that he signed a contract as well, but they're just waiting to announce it with other stuff. So, you know, I think the positive for me is that all those players that got offered contracts have kind of said, well, no, and we're only waiting on realistically two players. Because, you know, we've had seasons before where it just drags out and drags out. Like, Carroll was a classic, you know, kind of waiting around for ages and then he signs and whatever. And I just, what I wanted from this was to be able to go, right, clean slate, all these players go, these ones we want to keep, make decisions quick, and then we can move on. And I think, although we've literally got no players, we are in that position now where we can go, here's a blank piece of paper. Yeah. This is what we're looking for. Go out and try and make that happen in terms of the market. So, it's from a, you know, from a like point of view, a nostalgic point of view, I'd like to keep Hoyle. I don't see why he wouldn't re-sign. And Bengi, I think, is probably heads elsewhere, really. But, you know, we're not in limbo with a lot of these players where we have been previously. So
actually what you said there about like a blank slate looking at the squad is kind of exactly what I've found as I've been looking at the squad and thinking about recruitment and things like that. And, you know, it would be nice to have maybe a more established center back other than Tom Holmes as part of the squad right now. Mm-hmm. I know we have Hutchinson, but I don't know, you know, how much he's going to be on the pitch next season.
Who actually looks like he's turning to Danny Drinkwater physically.
Oh, you see
the picture? Like, it's just like, he just, I was like, is that Drinkwater? Is that an Hutchinson? He looked, frighteningly, they look almost like they're.
Maybe he's getting some like self-tan tips from Drinkwater, you know. You never know what they're getting on with. So, but yeah, no, it's a night. It's at least, you know, Bowen being presented with a blank slate and going, all right, come on then. Let's see if you are actually any good. Let's see if you can bring people in. I wouldn't mind if he started as well as he started a few seasons back by bringing in Josh Laurent. That would be someone like that, you know, coming from a team that we might not suspect and turning out to be solidly Championship quality. That would be nice.
There was, before we dive into the mailbag, because actually, you know, Alistair, who's contributed to Tarleton before, we'll start with that question actually. Yeah. It says, how many signings do Reading need to make? It's a great question. I mean, we need at least a team. So you're looking at least 11 players, whether or not they're permanents, whether loans, whatever. So I think, you know, realistically, we're looking at, you know, over 10. It's probably like the best way that we could look at that. Have you got any thoughts on numbers?
I think, honestly, it's like it's 6 or 7 just in the first team, right? Like, who's going to start next season? If he's still here, McIntyre is probably going to start, whether that be in midfield or in center back. Holmes is going to start. I would expect Guinness Walker is going to start next season, and Yiadom. So at least the back four is somewhat aligned. But beyond that, does Ajaria exist anymore? I'm unsure. I think
he looked like he was hanging around training the other day.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he'll get on with Sella as well and he'll be back.
Yeah, potentially.
I'm gonna count Ajaria as almost like an extra signing at this point, right? Like if he shows up and plays, then great. But I'm not gonna expect it. So yeah, no, I would say we need almost an entire attacking six, right? To be ready for next season to start. So the first thing I'd like to see, we're going to need double pivots. We're going to need proper central midfielders who aren't Jeff Hendrick or Danny Drinkwater. be nice to start building with players who have potential to grow into there. And if the season, you know, if the transfer window starts with some solid center mids coming in, then I'll think that we're going in the right direction. That's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, on that recruitment, before we step into the mailbag, yep. There was something that I retweeted earlier from a guy called Jimmy, and he got a great Twitter handle. It was called Criminal Record, which I thought was very, very good indeed. Nice. But what he's done is gone out and basically done a depth chart and a lineup of 22 players. And he attached to that. I mean, a lot of them obviously are kind of new signings as such, but he's done a thread. So it's definitely worth checking out. If you follow me on Twitter, it's on there. But he's come up with some really, really good stuff there. And I think looking at what you were saying and what he's come up with, you know, the defense kind of picks itself at the moment in terms of that back four. I think obviously a Braith is probably going to have to step in.
I think so.
If Yeardor, because I got a feeling Yeardor might look at somebody else and go, do you know what, I've had enough here, and potentially move on. I don't know. Something just tells me that might be in the offing. But yeah, go and have a look at that. We're going to go into the mailbag now, because it's quite a big one for our first show, actually, Ross, which is really exciting. So when we come back after these messages from our sponsors, is that what we're supposed to say at this point, I guess? We'll be having a look at the mailbag and going into that.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Welcome back to episode 341 of the Talhasen podcast. I am your host, Ben Thomas, and joined by Ross Webber. If you missed the first part of the show, don't know where you've been, but we are your new co-hosts, which is very, very exciting for us. Hopefully it's exciting for you as well. We've got a very big, juicy mailbag, actually, this week, which is great, because we want interactions. You know, if there's anything you ever want to talk about or want us to talk about, you know, drop Ross a line, drop myself a line, drop TT a line, whoever, so we can kind of read out as many questions as we can. Benjamin Vickers starts, honestly, he started with, I know TT's excellent article. Well, I think he's talking about the second one. Sim does not need any more smoke blown towards his general area. We appreciate what you're saying, Benjamin, but honestly, if he was made of chocolate, he'd eat himself, put it that way. Sim, that is. But yeah, he basically talks about Ruben Seller's playing style in that article, which, you know, was fantastic, all jokes aside. As I said, you can get more information on Seller's from Wim's podcast extra that he did with some Southampton journalists and pundits in the week. If we get Walcott, which I think is probably more of a when we get Walcott this day, where does he fit in that formation? Big man, little man, strike partnership, presumably. And kind of how does that work out? I think we kind of covered that one, haven't we, really? But I think that's the most intriguing part of this, because, you know, on one hand, we start our FA Cup campaign in November, but then we've also got potentially Theo Walcott and Andy Carroll up front. So I don't really know what to think anymore, Ross. I don't know what's going on.
I think League One's like that, isn't it? Like random players who you remember find their way into it from time to time. It's not that much further down, you know, like I remember when like teams going down the Pompey Highway or whatever would regularly be stopping down in League One. Southampton themselves have done it. You know, Leeds did it. Bournemouth, Brentford, like lots of teams have been down there. Brighton. So yeah, it's a bit of a weird halfway house in between the mess of the pyramid underneath and the actual like quality above it, right? Good question on Walcott though. I think that like I was talking about earlier with them sort of transitioning to the sort of 4-3-3, sort of 4-1-4-1 style in the last few weeks of the season. Walcott was sort of playing on the right side of a three with that, or on the right side, kind of where you'd see Mate playing, if we're playing like a 4-2-3-1 or something like that. So I kind of see Walcott fitting into that sort of position if he does come in. I actually will say, with Walcott, I'm less interested in what he can actually do on the pitch. I'm more excited about the fact that if a guy like Theo Walcott, who, all right, his star has faded significantly. He's been through the Goodison Park grinder in the last 5 years, right? His star has considerably faded, but he's been around some of the best managers in football. If he's willing to step down to League One to stick around with Saints, that's a vote of confidence, and that's good. So I don't know how long Walcott will be here, if and when he signs, but it's a vote of confidence that Sellers is going to be able to convince other people to join the club as well, hopefully.
Well, he's got a history, you know, because we had his brother on trial in the academy back in 2008, I think, same year as that Waitrose shirt we were talking about earlier. Weird, I just associate with kits all the time. But if you're listening on audio, basically Ross has got a wicked collection of Reading shirts behind him. True. And one of the ones he's got is from the kind of the white Waitrose one, who I associate with Jimmy Cobain. It's got like the green stripe down the side. Typical kind of Puma kit where they just went, just put that together and see what happens.
So
he was with us around that time. And I think his family is still sort of, you know, probably potentially Berkshire based, I think, unless I've got that completely wrong. So there's obviously something in it for him, right? There's obviously something that he thinks, actually, do you know what? I've not been able to do that. And I agree, like there's a little bit of a kind of a marquee player element. Like he might sell some tickets. He would well definitely sell some shirts. So there is a sounds bizarre talking about it in League One, but there is a kind of a market value to him coming in. So.
You just mentioned him and Andy Carroll potentially starting together in League One. And, you know, the funny thing is, whenever I think of Andy Carroll before and after he joined us, you know, the same things come up. Often his old Bebo account, which if you haven't found that, it still exists online. Go look up Andy Carroll's Bebo account. It's great. Mostly from when he was still at the Newcastle Academy. But the other thing that I think of with him is that sort of soaring header from a Steven Gerrard assist in Euro 2012. And Theo Walcott was on the score sheet for England that day as well.
Yeah.
So we're putting together the England Euros team of 2012, which is as exciting as long as Andrea Pirlo doesn't show up. And I think he's...
Exactly, we should be right in League One, hopefully, but you never know. Talking of kits, Laura Wall is kind of said... probably just an update on news, which we've tried to do. Obviously, we're going to circle back to some of these items in the coming weeks because, you know, we could probably spend hours on individual subjects here, but we're just trying to give an overview today. You know, kind of talks about positions we need to bolster, which we've looked at already, what this division needs to do well. We'll come back to that in a minute. Shirt news and just generally lots of speculation. And that's spot on, really. There's so much... Oh, it might be this, it might be that. There's a lot of people that, you know, coming out and saying, I believe this, I believe that, or whatever. And everyone's got a source, really. I can categorically state that I know about the kits this year. I've not seen them. I've not been allowed to look at the prototypes for them or the finished articles. But I do know that they have definitely ordered enough this time. So if people want to buy, that's going to be a positive on the whole. But I feel like they're going to be really, really popular. And I feel like they're really kind of considered in what Reading is about as a place.
Macron have done a good job so far. Like, obviously, I'm a bit of a kit collector myself, and I had similar feelings to you about a lot of the Puma kits being a little bit simple, a little bit templated. And I was somewhat concerned when Macron took over because they're a smaller kit brand, you know, not as much global reach.
Physically smaller as well, unless I've got bigger.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. They're definitely in like the smaller cut.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take that back. It's a bit of a small size, that one.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, I mean, I've seen a lot of good kits of theirs, I've learned that they're Italian kit manufacturers, and maybe that's why they make nice shirts. You know, Italian shirts, what can you say about that? It's the European style. So, you know, I've been happy with Macron so far. Hopefully it's good this year as well.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm not massively sold on the training kit I've seen this week. I have to say, it's very
very bland. Yeah, the
yeah,
red.
Reds are
Yeah,
it's just not really Reading, is it?
no,
And
Andy
Leicester
Carroll
training
looks good
kit.
in it, but that's about it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but I, you know, I honestly feel that based on the information I've been given, I think the shirt's going to be big hit. So quite excited by those for once,
Awesome.
really. In terms of what we need for this division, I mean, I don't know. I'll chuck that one to you, Ross, to be honest. It's been a while since I've watched any League One. So I don't know if you've been sort of up to date with what's been going on in the league. But
Yeah.
yeah, any thoughts on that?
I don't watch a ton of League One either, and certainly in the last few years haven't been watching much outside of enjoying a bit of Barry Bannon at Sheffield Wednesday and things like that. I think that Reading need to, you know, it's all well and good asking, you know, what do they need for that particular division? But I think that football is in such a transition with, like, there are guys who are still playing the sort of like Harry Redknapp, get everyone excited and just get everyone going in 4-4-2 sort of style. And that works at that level of football. And there are guys who are playing positional play and all kinds of Pep Guardiola, tiki-taka ball stuff lower than that division as well, right? So I think you can do anything you want as long as you have a consistent vision. I could talk a little bit about the need for a left back, because there just isn't really a consistent defensive left back in the club right
yeah.
now, a large center back, but these are just like key pieces of building for any team. I think it just, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if we're going to play with the ball for 30% of the time or we're going to try and suffocate teams like we're Russell Martin Swansea or something. It just needs to be aligned with whatever the manager's vision is. So I wouldn't think about necessarily what it is for the division, more about what it is for sellers, and that's for energetic players, a little bit less width than we might expect, but energy and directness down the middle, I think.
Which goes back to that point about acting, not reacting, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Deal with our own first and then see what happens. But, you know, I think looking at the league, there are historically a lot, well, there are lots of clubs that are historically, you know, big lower league teams, if that even makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like Portsmouth Derby. You know, there's a lot of clubs down there that, you know, that have competed sort of Championship, Premier League in recent years as well. And, you know, you can see the difficulty they've had in getting out of there. So I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park. And, you know, as we go through the summer, we start to assemble our squad, we'll look more closely at TTE about putting together, you know, team reviews and where we think we're going to end up in terms of predictions. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult, really. Lyle says, why isn't there a public response to the EFL charges? And to add to that, Anthony Johnson says, or from the EFL in terms of why they've not commented on it. Similar one, Paul Mortimer says, have we paid the tax bill? And then Adriano Villa just flat out says, who's the new owner going to be?
Yeah.
I think we'll deal with the charges. Obviously, it was quite disturbing. I don't think that's too a dramatic word, but the news last week about, you know, potentially another situation where we've got, you know, another winding up order. We've had three, by the way, in the time that we've been with Dae Young, and kind of not potentially paying staff and all this sort of stuff. You know, in your mind, Ross, why do you think that the club or the EFL have not come out and said specifically, like, this is what's happened, this is where we're at? You know, we've had drip feed bits and pieces. I know that the deadline for charges was, I believe, Friday. So we're, you know, well past that now. But, you know, would you expect something to come out tomorrow on this?
Not unless it's potentially half AI generated, right? I'm not convinced that it's coming out any particular time soon. Yeah, no, it's been weird. The only thing I can think is that maybe what is actually the club, what the club is actually being charged with hasn't been fully decided, right? Like,
yeah.
But no, to be honest with you, I just find it all very confusing and frustrating, right? We were, especially with Pushcast being sold, it seemed like we were at the start of like a summer where we'd actually be able to start doing things again for the first summer since we picked up Pushcast, and now it's uncertainty again. So I can't say why the club hasn't put out some sort of communication about it. It would be nice to get that communication soon, but I feel like once or twice we've asked for better communication from the club, and once or twice we've been let down. So
I mean, clearly, you know, when they when Pang put out his kind of AI generated statement a couple of weeks ago, he alluded to the fact that there was financial issues that were being resolved or being worked on. Now it doesn't take a forensic genius to realize that he was alluding to what's come out this last week. So my hope is that the next piece of news that we have, I say next, like we've had a continual stream of news because we haven't,
Right.
but it will be a situation where we go, this is what has happened, this is what we're being charged with, this is what we've disputed, this is what we paid, kind of ballpark, and this is where we move on. I personally think we'll end up with a points deduction. I don't see how the severity of what has been alluded to and reported doesn't result in that. I don't think it will be massive. I don't think it will be as high as Wigan's was, but I think we will start with, potentially minus one, minus two, something like that. But
Okay.
again, it's just a kind of, it's just a feeling based on prior instances, really. So we'll see how that happens. Milo, in typical Milo fashion, to kind of mix it up, has said, will there ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark? Well, it's Michael Phelps, so
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you
that's
go.
done. And this really stumped me, this one, because I thought about this for far too long.
Okay.
This is movies. I hope you've seen these too, because otherwise we're in trouble. But he
Okay.
says, would it be The Rock or Con Air?
Oh gosh, yeah. I haven't seen Reading in League One before, right? So this might be a little bit be earlier than my time. But
Sure.
let's go with Con Air. Let's go with that's the Nick
Interesting.
Cage
You
one, right?
prefer Nick Cage? I personally, if you haven't seen him, you've got to go and watch him now because they've both
Yeah,
got
yeah.
Nick. I went The Rock because of Sean Connery, and it's just a ridiculous film. They're both ridiculous, really, which I guess is why he's picked him. But yeah, the jury is split on that one, Milo. We've gone 50-50, so hopefully that answers that one for you. Rob Parker says, why hasn't Sellers been announced? Kind of covered that one, really, in terms
Yeah.
of the paperwork. And again, we don't know the ins and outs on that one, Rob. Unfortunately, it's a little bit like the tax and everything else. But yeah, we are led to believe, as the club said, that it's to do with visas and paperwork.
Exactly.
Though ironically, he's now back in Spain, so I don't know how that one works, really. I've got no idea what's going on. And the kind of the final one, really, obviously, as we said earlier, Adriano says, who's the new owner going to be? Which leads us nicely on to Math. Everyone knows Math, kind of regular chatterbox on Twitter. What are the views of me and Ross on the sell before we die campaign? And that brings us to kind of the next part of the podcast, really. Ross, I'll let you go fast on this one. Obviously we've got a group set up from kind of all the fan groups, representatives from all the fan groups, who have created this group, and they've done good numbers on Twitter in terms of followers. That there's been a lot of traction. There's been what I would class as like a multifaceted approach to it. It's not just like we want the owner out and that's it. It looks like, and I say that because I'm not part of the kind of workings of the group, and neither is Ross.
No.
In terms of what's going on, they're kind of looking at all the different elements to be able to kind of piece that together. Kind of what are your initial thoughts on all of that?
I'm glad that the fan groups, the fans, whether on Twitter or in person or things like that, seem to be uniting behind one particular message, whether that be the kind of like sell before we die thing, or whatever. I think that it is good that they're uniting, because obviously Reading fans tried protests maybe a year and a half ago now, and they were certainly well-intentioned but a little bit scattergun. So I think it's good that the fans are coming together. I think that, as much as anything, can only be good. Like coming into League One, they're going to need us behind them. Everyone says it every season, they'll need us more than ever, but this is certainly a season when the players are really going to need us. Whether it's successful is difficult to say. At the end of the day, it all comes down to the interest in someone else purchasing the club in the first place, and the interest of Dae Young in selling the club. But I think that just trying to get it out in front of a more national, more local, and just a more invested audience is only a good thing. Like have it doing the runs on the news or and things like that, making it clear to people that the club means a lot to the community, and we don't want to let it go quietly if there are things, the issues. I think that's good. I think that we need to be patient with it, I think is one of my primary takeaways. And Twitter is not really the best place for patience a lot of the time. So I think that that's the main thing that we're all going to have to learn to be. Wigan, you know, they've kind of gotten themselves out of the similar rut in the last few months. And a lot of their fans have been great online in terms of telling us, you know, that it can get better and things like that. But it was a long time that they went through with some trouble. So patience, I think, is the good intentions. And let's all just make sure we're patient with the outcomes.
Yeah, I think there can't be a Reading fan out there that believes that Dae Young is the right guy or person to run the football club. It has been, you know, one thing after another, after another, after another over a period of time. And you can have, and I've always felt this, you can have a silent owner. That's not a problem. What you need, though, is someone else in his place to actually do the talking and the communication. And the problem is that has not been evident at Reading Football Club over many years. Yeah. So he's been influenced by the wrong people, in my opinion. He's been influenced by people that are out for their own gains rather than protecting the long-term aims, historical elements of the club, everything. So there's, again, nothing to dispute the fact that the community and the club have drifted away. You know, on and off the pitch, they've gone. You know, numbers are dwindled in the stands. The performance on the pitch have dived, basically. Mm-hmm. And we've got lucky a few times and finally taken our medicine this season. But the constant element of him putting the club in danger by not doing what are essentially fundamental basics in terms of paying, in terms of not overspending, in terms of putting in, you know, long-term projects with staff, academy, everything else. It has been really, really difficult to watch. Been in at times unforgivable. You know, you mentioned last year, which was basically like two seasons ago, against Coventry, and it kind of all realistically, you know, because of the month we'd had and the way the season was going, it kind of all came to the boil a little bit. And for me personally, you know, the protest at that time, there was too much. There was too many aims of it in terms of actually this is what we expect. And all I've ever wanted was for the groups to work together. So with this now, you've got all the groups talking. I think that can only be a positive, right? Mm-hmm. And some of those guys that are involved in that and ladies aren't even part of the, you know, particularly aligned with Club 1871 or Star or the Tyler Stand or whatever. They've just got skills in certain areas that they feel that can help this.
Yeah.
Move forward, and I really do feel that that's a positive. You know, I've always been of the opinion that if fans can help, do it. You know, don't talk about it, do it. And I, you know, a year ago against Coventry, very very outspoken about what was going on. You know, I didn't agree with people on the pitch because I didn't think that was the right thing to do, and I still don't.
Yeah,
I realised that you know, kind of talking about them as fans or not being fans wasn't the right thing to do. I you know, I had my medicine for that. I had people threatening to kill me. I had people threatening to, you know, come after my family and all sorts. And that was part and parcel of it. And I'll stand by those views. But for me now, where we are as a club, and I felt it, you know, a year and a bit ago, that actually we need to move this guy on and really thinking about where we are as a club and what we want to see and kind of having that football club going all the way through. It doesn't matter what league it's in, you know, obviously we want them all to be successful, but actually we've got to do something here to say this is where we're at. And you used the word patience. I think that's the key point here. This could be, you know, someone might come in and say, oh, I want to buy the club, here's 50 million, bang, sorted, right. And he'll sell up. It might not happen for 2-3 years. So actually going all guns blazing straight away, In my opinion, and it, you know, people can do what they want, but actually kind of sticking with this and moving it forward, I think is probably the key point of all this, really. And ultimately, all we want as fans, whether we've been going for 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, whether we support from overseas, we just want a football club. That's what we want, you know. So,
we want
yeah,
a football club now and a football club that we know that we are to take our kids to, and they'll take their kids to, and all of that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So, I applaud what these guys are doing, and I keep saying guys, ladies as well. I apologize. I know.
It's a collective, guys.
Exactly. Collective, just gang of people.
Gang, yeah.
But, you know, they're giving up their free time. They're doing that, and they're going out and trying to make stuff happen. And it is difficult when there are so many different opinions about what should happen.
Yeah.
But as I said at the start of this, it's like there can't be anyone who agrees that Dae Jong is doing a good job currently. And I don't see that changing.
No.
I don't suddenly see him going, do you know what? I've messed up, guys. And this is what I'm going to do and move forward. So it's I think it's a positive thing. I think it's a real.
As long as the fans stay united and it appears that they're doing it through this like united group, then I'm all for it. If it becomes a case of like there being lots of different ways of protesting that some people agree with and some people don't, like happened last time, that's when it runs into issues. But the more united we are as a fan base, the better at this time.
Yeah. That's kind of where we're at, Matt. I think really, but it's an ongoing process, and I think most people, when I say everyone, I can't speak for everyone, but my feeling is that there are an awful lot of people behind this that want to make it work, and hopefully the end result is that we get an owner in that values the club and values the people and ultimately values the town and the community, because it's a great place at the end of the day. It really is. So,
Awesome.
We're looking at the week ahead, Ross, if we can. And I don't know, you know, normally in season or in season time, we'll be looking at games we'll be playing. But the week ahead for us in terms of fans and a club, what are you hoping will happen? And what do you expect will happen? And I suppose those two questions could be like off in a different direction.
Well, I'm obviously, you know, before I even get to that, I think the main thing I'm expecting from the next week is to see a picture of Sellers and whether that be, you know, in front of the badge, holding up a shirt, like in the boardroom or something like that. I'm wondering what dynamic marketing pose we're getting from Sellers. So that's my first question for the week upcoming. But yeah, let's see Theo Walcott announced. Let's see Nibs announced early in the week. Let's get some positive vibes going around Reading and maybe try and end with another one being added. Been very much enjoying the sort of Where's Wally, who's called Where's Waldo over here, by the way. But I've been enjoying the Where's Waldo, Where's Wally sort of trying to work out who's in Spain in the last couple of weeks. So let's finish that out and accidentally find that Benzema's not off to Saudi. He's going to Spain with Reading for a little bit or something like that. Some more rumors about recruitment. I think it's just time for the club, the squad to start coming together. So that's what I want to hear.
Do you know what, actually? I think that's a real positive out of these ridiculous situations, because the kind of, you know, I'm not really on any other platforms in terms of Reddit, and say Twitter's kind of like my go-to with apart from the, you know, the WhatsApp chats and stuff. But what's really funny is that in the last few weeks we've had to be almost like tax investigators for companies that are getting involved. We've had to have forensics in terms of people dissecting photos, like you said, with the kind of who is that and where's the tattoo position on his arm, and does he wear a ring on that hand or the other hand or whatever.
Right.
And just kind of putting all those things together and just kind of coming up with like, that's definitely that person or whatever. Like the Chris Wilder thing was classic. Like, we don't even know if it was Chris Wilder. It looked like him. It was a really good likeness if it wasn't, when he was at the training ground a couple of weeks ago. But like, I think that's been really, really like, kind of amusing, but also really not awe-inspiring. That's far too dramatic. But it's just been great to see people go off and go, right, actually, I'm going to research this, and I'm going to get the information for myself, because there's like a vacuum of silence from everyone else to do with the club. So our fans are just like on it in terms of, right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to research this and at least that and all this sort of stuff.
We're so desperate to talk about football and not tax, like you were saying.
Yeah, we would just love to see some action on the pitch, really.
Exactly.
And talking of action, we've got a game in, or just on the outsets of Benidorm. You been to Benidorm, Ross? You been there?
Not really. No, it's we go to Florida from up here.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard. Very different to Florida.
Okay, nice.
I'm trying to think the last time I was there. I went to Valencia and then I drove down. Anyway, okay. It's an interesting place. It's probably not a bad one for a weekend to go and watch a pre-season against Wimbledon. And I know there are some of you maybe listening going out to that, so enjoy it. There's a lot of British style pubs.
Okay.
And the last time I was there was an incredible amount of Celtic and Rangers shirts.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's like a kind of people from
Always find them. I think they're just popular, those ones, you know.
Yeah, but it's Spain, and Spain is a great country, and it's I think it's always nice to see your team play in a different country, regardless of who they're playing. So, yeah, if you go and enjoy it, we'll have a bit of a review of that probably next week, and kind of the week that was as well, with hopefully some positive news. You know, Sellers, Nibs, Walcott, as you say, and hopefully some other bits and pieces that will come out. So yeah, that pretty much draws us to a close on episode 341 of the Tyler's Den podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I say this evening, this is like Ross's daytime. Isn't it?
What time is it now? It's 4:14 in the afternoon. So
is it? Oh, look.
Yeah.
You haven't even started the Monday blues yet, have you? Look, everyone else has.
No, I'm still feeling good about it. It's July 4th weekend as well. So we've got
so you got bank holiday tomorrow, right?
Exactly. Yep. So
you guys love a bank holiday.
We have a lovely old July every year. Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's a good time.
Well, listen, enjoy it. And, you know, we'll be doing one again next Sunday, I believe. Kind of getting a routine of doing them on Sundays and then knocking them out either Sunday night or Monday morning. It's also your birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, Ross. Enjoy
Thank
it.
Thank you very
a
much.
A bank holiday and a birthday. Goodness me.
And I'm spending it playing football in a Reading shirt, of course. So it will be a birthday well spent, I'm sure. But yeah, looking forward to it. And excited to be on the podcast this season. Really excited to start talking more football as the season goes on.
Yeah, and that's all we want, is that we're going to be talking about the football on the pitch stuff, not so much the off pitch stuff.
Exactly.
Have a really good week, everybody. Enjoy whatever you're doing. Take care. And until next time, we will see you next week.